Let's pray together and then I'm going to preach this morning. Father,
as we sense what you're about with us,
as we ask you, Lord, I ask you just to help our people to articulate their dream for Holloway's. It doesn't have to be for the whole church. It may just be for, well, I dream this for this group, or I dream that, or my heart, or I sense the Lord wants us to do this and that we might hear that. God, with that time coming up, we thank you. Lord, as I come to a message that's a little bit difficult to preach, but in light of what we as a congregation have experienced in the last few days and in light of what our nation has experienced, I know that it's what you wanted me to speak. And I pray that you just now move me out of the way and you help your word to go forth. You said it'll never return void. And may I be your messenger today. Amen. I'd ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to a book we really don't usually spend a lot of time preaching from, the book of Ecclesiastes. If you get to Psalms, go right. If you get to Isaiah, go left. If you get to the Song of Solomon, blush before you turn to Ecclesiastes. Some of you that know the Song of Solomon will know what I'm talking about. Ecclesiastes, as you're turning, is written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by the wisest and really the richest man that ever lived, Solomon. And we're going to look at something what Solomon says today in a message that in some ways may seem somber, but the title of the message is 1 Minute After You Die. 1 Minute After You Die. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, some of you young folks may not be aware of this passage, but some of us who are older will. The 3rd chapter, beginning in verse 1, is it's a time for everything. Solomon speaks of a time for everything. Beginning in verse 1, and I'm reading from the New American Standard, he says, "There is appointed a time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven." He says there's a time to give birth, there's a time to plant, and there's a time to uproot what is planted. There's a time to kill, and there's a time to heal. There's a time to tear down, in verse 3 it says, and a time to build up. Verse 4 says that there is a time to weep. And some of us, many of us, have wept this week. But there's also a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Yes, I said that in a Baptist church. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, or a time really to hug, and a time to shun hugging. Right, men? Just want to make sure you're with me. A time to search and a time to give up is lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time I haven't learned for this next one. A time to be silent. Oh, come on, you're with me. And a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And in verse 2, I left one out. A time to die. Whether you're young or whether you're old, Solomon, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God inspiring him, says, yes, there is a time to die. Now, some folks will say, well, I'm not planning on dying. I'm waiting on the rapture of the church. And the teaching on the rapture of the church, basically, is that Jesus is going to come first for all believers. And he's going to resurrect the bodies of the dead, because those souls are going to come with him, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Well, you can wait on that, but we've been waiting 2,000 years plus, and some have died. The only two people who have never experienced death, including the Lord Jesus Christ, who did experience death, but the only two that we know of in the Bible are Enoch. Very early in the Old Testament, it says, and Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more. God raptured him, and the other was Elijah. Elijah, the great prophet of God, was taken up by a whirlwind by God. So we're facing a day. There's coming a day for all of us, and you may not know when, But I want to make sure you're prepared as much as we can be. There is a day when our death is coming. You're going to die. Now, what I want you to understand is you don't need to fear dying if you're prepared. This week, yesterday, we shared in Mark's homegoing. Mark Sylvester knew how sick he was. Others, I've been at their bedside, and you have too, and you know, and they're dying. But you know, Mark wasn't afraid. Mark was prepared. But when we're young, we think we're going to live forever. But I remember I remember that I was in the third grade at East Lawn Elementary in Burlington. And we used to have to walk to school. I had to walk a mile to school because the buses went beyond a mile. And so I walked to school every day. And I remember right there at the crosswalk in Burlington, it's a busy place, and Alamance Hospital used to be there. A dump truck was coming through and a little girl ran. And a little kindergartner was killed. It's the first time I think I'd really seen a human death. And it made me begin to think of it then. And since then, I've lost friends and you've lost friends. But when we think of dying, I want you to look at Psalm 139, verse 16. Psalm 139, verse 16, because it'll tell you that the only person who knows when your last breath and last day is the Lord. Now, the doctors can tell you, well, you've got so-and-so, or the doctor, or the you know, someone could say so-and-so, or you might be in hospice house, or you might just be going along and you say, listen, I'm going to live to be 100. I tell folks, and this will really weird some of you out, I don't want to get into my daddy is 89. I don't want to live to be 89. I know some of you think, huh? Listen, I want to live as fully, and he lives a full life as long as I can. But folks, I'm ready to go to glory, okay? So if I check out tomorrow, don't be sad for me. Because I'm prepared. Psalm 139:16 says, but the only time, because especially with young people and with young adults, we think we have forever. It says, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. What that basically means is the only person who knows the time you're going to check out is the Lord. It's God Himself. It is planned already. The day of my death is planned. Now, how I'm going to die? Now, can I hasten it? Yeah. If I decide to go out on Interstate 40 and jump in front of a transfer truck. But God will already know that, okay? So, when we talk about death, we feel like it's such a morbid subject, but it's not. Because if only God knows, then there's one thing we need to understand, and that's after you die, 1 minute after you draw your last breath. And I hope for all you ladies, that you're in your hundreds, and that you got shot by a jealous wife. Amen? Not for doing anything, just for looking at him, okay? And for you men too. But 1 minute after you die, the Scripture teaches us something that we sometimes try to avoid. And that is that 1 minute after you die, where you're going to spend eternity is already settled. There are no hang on, Lord, moments then. 1 minute after you die, you're going to be in one of two places. You're going to be in the presence of the Lord in the glories of heaven, or you're going to be in a place that Jesus said where the worm never dies and the fire is not quenched, in a place known as hell. So this morning I want you to think about where you're going to spend eternity. Where are you going to be 1 minute after you die? Now, for some folks, you've already settled that. There may be some folks here that haven't settled that. Today's your day to settle it. Some of you may be confused. You may say, well, I hope. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you're going, well, I hope I go to heaven, there is no hope that you're going to heaven. You either know or you don't know. And I'm going to share with you how you can be sure. How you can know that you know that you know. You know that I'm going to heaven. That's why I'm not afraid to die. Now, I'm not looking forward to the process of death, because it may come at the hands of my wife if I keep up acting the way I am. I have to lighten the moment. We're talking about death, folks, right? And you didn't, Rose was under her breath going, amen. Where would you spend eternity? I hope is not a good answer. I don't know is not a good answer. I don't believe in hell is not a good answer. I don't believe in God or Jesus or any of this stuff. You're just trying to scare us. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. The world out there won't tell you the truth. I'll tell you the truth. Or you may say, I don't care. Well, that's a very dangerous answer. Well, in one or two places, there's heaven. Now, there's the idea among some folks, and Okra I call her instead of Oprah, and Shirley MacLaine, is that everybody goes to heaven. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I beg to differ. They may think everybody goes to heaven, but not everybody goes to heaven. Why don't they? Well, because they chose not to. I want you to hear that again. Because they chose not to. In the Bible, if you ever want to read about some place that's wonderful, you ought to read the book of Revelation or some of the other passages about heaven. It speaks of jasper walls and streets of gold. That's why I tell you from time to time, you know, I love a little bling. I got some bling on here and all that, and I'm wearing gold, and we think gold is so wonderful and so precious. Do you realize that gold is so worthless to God that He had to pave the streets with it? Gold's just paving material. So if gold is so valuable to us, can you imagine how wonderful heaven is? Heaven is where God is. Heaven is where Jesus is. Heaven is where the Holy Spirit is dwelling. And yes, God is everywhere, but that is the place of His throne. Heaven is where my mama is. Heaven's where Mark is. Heaven's where some of your loved ones are. If they were ready for that 1 minute after they die. It's the place where God wants us to be. Now, I want you to understand that, and I want you to turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, go all the way in the back of your Bible to Revelation and head left. 2 Peter 2, verse 9. Because heaven is a special place. But I want to tell you something about heaven. Not everybody is prepared to go, but not everybody is prepared to go to heaven. But I want you to understand this clearly. I want you to hear me clearly. God wants everybody to go to heaven. God wants everybody. Jesus wants everybody to go to heaven. You say, well, if Jesus wants everybody to go, why doesn't everybody go? For the same reason that you get to choose whether you get up in the morning or stay in the bed. Because He gave us choice. But listen to what Peter writing about the Lord said. He said, the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. What does that mean? That means that Jesus is infinitely patient with us in wanting us to accept Him as Savior and Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's what Jesus wants. Jesus wants everybody to go to heaven. And it would be His choice that everybody go to heaven, but He gives us a choice. See, that's part of the beauty of it, is that He gives us a choice. Now, the world will tell you, world religions will tell you, there are even some false preachers that will tell you, everybody goes to heaven. No, they don't. And I'll point out to you in a few moments how. Now, you may be sitting there right now, well, you've got my attention. And 1 minute after I die, I want to go to heaven. I want to give you the ironclad key to going to heaven. There is no way to go to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Muhammad won't get you there. Buddha won't get you there. Living right won't get you there. Being baptized won't get you there. Your mom and daddy giving the stained glass windows won't get you there. You buying or not buying the preacher won't get you there. The Scripture says in Acts 4, verse 12, that there is salvation under no other person, no other name, except Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. Romans 10, verse 9 says, that if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for you, for your sin, and if you'll ask Him to forgive your sin, you'll go to heaven. And that's all you got to do. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to clean up. You don't have to take a spiritual bath. You just come to Jesus as you are. You say, well, don't all Baptists go to heaven? Unfortunately, not. And I know some that if they did, I'm going to question the Lord when I get there. Amen? Through Jesus. 1 minute after you die, if you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven. Now, some of you may have done that, and you're going, well, I hope so. And there is no hope about it. If you have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and to come into your heart and to be your Savior, you're going to heaven. I don't care what the preacher or mama or anybody else tells you. This is God's Word and it says you're going. Amen? Amen. That's my guarantee. And I want you to know that once you're saved, now, when you're saved, you ought to be perfect like me, but I know most of you can't. Oh, somebody caught that. Amen. You can mess up after you're saved. You can, and you can go. There are some people that teach, and they say that the Bible teaches you can lose your salvation. I don't believe that. I don't believe you can lose your salvation. The Primitive Baptist, and I have family that are Primitive Baptists, believe you can lose your salvation and you need to be baptized again. Some of the independents do. I don't think the Scripture teaches that, because Jesus said that we're His sheep. He says, I know my sheep. And not everybody is one of His sheep. I know my sheep, and nobody takes them out of my hand. Well, the way you come into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ is, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. And I accept the fact that you died to take away my sin. And I'm one of His sheep, and it doesn't matter what Satan does, or the church does, or the world does, or the government does, or anybody else does. I am saved in the arms of the Lord. That's why when you hear my passing, I want you to celebrate. I know you're going to miss me. I'm special, okay? I want you to know that I'm going to be instantly, 1 minute after I die, instantly in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because I'm a preacher? Absolutely not. Because I'm a Baptist? Absolutely not. Because I've been baptized? Absolutely not. Because I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. Now, I don't know Him up here. I know Him in here. And I know that He came into my heart and He changed me. So, 1 minute after you die, if you've confessed your sin, if you've asked Christ to forgive you, you're going to heaven. And that ought to be a moment that Baptists jump up and act like Pentecostals. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. I cannot wait till some of you and some of the other people I know, and y'all aren't dead, but some of them are, and I mean spiritually and happy dead, when they get to heaven. Because it says if they spend their time, who do we need? Okay, you're fine. They spend their time in heaven praising the Lord. And I want you to know that they're not up there going, you saw where He said there's a time to dance. I'm liable to break into one, but my wife's right here. And I'm not ready to die that way yet. Amen? Now, 60 seconds after you breathe your last, you're either going to be in heaven, and if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, not up here. The demons knew who Jesus was, but you have experienced Him here. You are guaranteed heaven. But what if you have? You go, well, I've joined the church. Well, unfortunately, I want to tell you, there are a lot of folks that join the church and they think that joining the local church makes you a Christian. It doesn't. Any more than spending the night in the garage makes you a car. Some of you husbands know that. But it's the doghouse for you, amen? Through Jesus. There is salvation under no one else except Him. Now, some people ask, well, then there is a hell. Yes, folks, there is a hell. In fact, I want you to look with me at Mark 9, verses 43 and 49. We're going to move quickly. The Gospel of Mark, the ninth chapter, verses 43 and 49 through 49. And I want you to understand something as you're turning. Mark 9, verses 43 through 49 about Jesus. Everybody talks about, well, God is a God of love, and God is, and yes, He is. And God is a God of grace, and yes, He is. But I want you to understand that in the Bible, in the teachings of Jesus, that the teachings of Jesus, it's 2-to-1. That means there's twice as many teachings about Jesus and hell as there is about Jesus and heaven. Jesus talked more about the reality of hell than He did heaven. Why? Because He didn't want anybody to go there. Mark 2, verse 43. And we'll jump on down. It talks about what can do it. But I want you to look at verse 48. Now, Jesus is describing in verse 48, Mark 9, verse 48. He says about that place. Did I do it right? Yes. Mark 9, verse 48. It says, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And Jesus is talking about hell. Mark 9, verse 48. And He says, for everyone, and He's talking about all those that are in hell, will be salted with fire. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not somewhere you want to go. You say, well, I believe everybody goes to heaven. Okay? You can believe that. But if you'll look at Luke 16, I want to prove to you not everybody goes. In Luke 16, Jesus is telling a story about a poor man by the name of Lazarus and a rich man by the name that we call Dives. Now, we really don't know his name, but some theologians have said his name is Dives. And everybody says, well, this isn't fair. That means all the poor. This scripture does not teach that everybody who's poor who goes to heaven. No, that's not what it's teaching. But the rich man spent all of his time doing like a lot of people do today. And that is, he was living for himself. In the scripture it says, now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died. What does it say about him? He was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. And what's he doing in hell? Is he down there dancing around saying, man, all of my riches got me to a good place? It says, in hell, and being in torment, verse 24, he cries out to Father Abraham. Well, why not God? Well, this is a Jew speaking to the Jewish patriarch. This is a Jewish thing. And he cried out and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send that poor man Lazarus so he may dip the tip of his finger in tongue and cool me off, because I am in agony in this place. Jesus said, for those that choose to go to hell. Why would somebody choose to go to hell? You want to know the truth? I have absolutely no idea. The devil has convinced them that this stuff about Jesus and this stuff about religion is all. The key to heaven is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and living for Him or living for yourself. So there's a man who not only went to hell, he's crying out in torment, saying, this is a bad place. The reality is that there is a hell. 1 minute after you die, if you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have asked Him to forgive you of your sin. Now, it's not I've asked Jesus to be my Savior, and I have asked Him to forgive me of my sin and to come into my life. You will be saved. The scripture teaches that. If you don't, it doesn't matter if you're the best person in this county. It doesn't matter if you give all your money to the poor. It doesn't matter if I'm the meanest snake on earth. Why do I get to go? And why does a good person? Listen, hell is full of good people. That's not fair. No, it's not. But they chose to go there. What do you mean they chose? They did not accept the fact that the only way to heaven is through Jesus. And I will tell you what Jesus will do for a good person. He'll make them better. You show me a good person, they get Jesus in their life, they're even better. You show me a bad person, they get Jesus in their life, they won't be bad anymore. You mean they won't sin? Oh no, they might mess up. But it says that you become a new person. And so I want to close this service by just asking you. 60 seconds after you die, where will you be? Where will you be? Now some of you already know. You already know. You already know. You know I'm going to heaven. You ought to sing our invitation in just a moment, that song, and you ought to walk out of here whistling instead of walking around like a bunch of dead, crabby old people like we do at times. I'm so tired of crabby Christians, I don't know what to do. Yes, we have difficult times. Yes, we have heartache. Yes, we get sick. Yes, it stinks that Mark Sylvester isn't here today. And it breaks my heart. But you want to know about what I think about Mark Sylvester? I'm jealous. I am. I'm jealous. He won't ever catch another cold. He will never hear another harsh, mean word. He will never watch another loved one die. Mark is up there just celebrating. My mama's up there celebrating. There are others that you know. And you know, that's what we get. 60 seconds after you die, you're going to be like the rich man who was saying, oh God, please, please. Now in that story, the rich man called out to Abraham and he said, Abraham, please send somebody to get me out of this place. You know what Abraham told him? You can't. Once you're there, you can't get out. Once you're in heaven, God won't throw you out. And once you're in hell, you can't get out. And when the rich man realized that, he was so overcome, you know what he said? He said these words, which I'm sharing with you today. He said, please, please, please go send somebody to my brothers. Please go tell them about this Jesus so they won't have to come to this place. There are people in hell right now that are saying to you, don't come here. But it's your choice. It's your choice. How do I guarantee that I get to go to heaven? You just bow your head right where you are and you just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Now some of these young people here, they're old enough, you know, they're not the kind of sinner that some of you old folks. Listen, I know Tommy Bean Blossom. He's bad. Them orphan boys are bad. And it doesn't matter how bad you are or how good you are, you just have to accept Jesus. And then He'll take all your bad and get rid of it, and He'll make you good. Not perfect, but good. Why would anybody want to go to hell? I'm going to close with something that some of you will remember. It is September the 11th, 2001. The Twin Towers are burning. They're taking pictures and they're watching and they're trying to get there. And suddenly you begin to see from windows things dropping. And then they begin to understand that it wasn't pieces of the building. It was human beings jumping to their death. Why? Why? They were trying to get out of the fire. There are people in hell right now that I believe are jumping. It says that the worm is constantly gnawing on them. You go, that's awful. Yes, it is. And the fire is never quenched. And they're crying to get out of there, but they're never going to get out. Don't leave this place today without having made a decision to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. If you do, I want you to do something for me. If you go, well, I'm not ready today. I can't do that. I got to talk to my mama, and that's okay. And you don't have to make it public today. But if you're going to do that, I want you to do something. I want you to get a piece of paper like this. And I want you to write on that piece of paper your name. And I want you to keep that piece of paper with you forever. And when you get to heaven, I want you to walk into the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want you to take it and throw it in space. And you go, well, I would never do that. Well, if you walk out of here today because Jesus is here saying, come to me. Right now He's saying, come to me. And I'll make sure you never go to hell. That's what you're doing. Because on the first Sunday of 2013, I heard about the truth and the reality of heaven and the reality of hell. And now I have no excuse. Do you want the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? If He already is, you're like me. You're not perfect. You're never going to be. You're forgiven. And boy, if I die today, if you all rise up and stone me to death, I'm going straight into the presence of the Lord. Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? We're going to sing a song in just a moment. And that song is called An Invitation. Now, you may be making your decision right where you are, and you can do that. You don't need me. You just need to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin and come into my heart. And I will tell you this. Before you can finish the T on heart, He's already there. You go back, that's all you got to do. You don't have to go to the church. You don't have to come see the preacher necessarily. Just your heart. Now, maybe you've done that before today, and you want to do what Jesus said. That Jesus said, when you do that privately, I need you to do it publicly. What does He mean by that? He means He wants you not to be ashamed to tell somebody that you're a Christian. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you, and I don't know you. But if you're not ashamed of me, I'm not ashamed of you. And so somebody may want to step out this morning. You may want to walk down here and you may say, preacher, I made that decision today, or I made it weeks ago, or I made it months ago, I made it years ago, and I just want to tell these people that I'm a Christian, that I love Jesus. Maybe the Holy Spirit is telling you that He's working on you. Don't feel guilty. I'm not trying to, as some people would say, scare the hell out of you. Don't be afraid. But the Lord Jesus Christ is here today with His arms wide open saying, come to me. Come to me. Now, I've got to say this because it's the truth. I pray that if you don't come today, that you get another chance. But there is no promise we will. So don't put it off just because you're embarrassed. Or you're scared. Because you may never get another chance. You may walk out of here today and the Lord Jesus writes down in His book, I gave him or her one last chance and they said no. I pray you don't do that today because I want to tell you, what gives me the juice and the life that I have? It is nothing I take or anything else. Yeah, my body hurts, my knees hurt. My eyes are getting dim and I'm getting older, but let me tell you something, I'm getting closer home. And now that I got people like Mark there, I can't wait to get there. Because when I go through that gate, Mark's going to tell me, and others are going to tell me, Marcia's going to be there to go, welcome home. Welcome home. My mama's going to be there to tell me, you won't believe this place. It's better than anything you've ever experienced. I've gone long this morning, but here's where we are. It's decision time. As Miss Ruth comes and leads us, if you need to make a decision privately, right, you do that. And then when the time comes, you let some preacher or you let somebody know you made that decision. If you want to make it public today, you come and I'll share it and we'll just tell you some wonderful things about baptism. And maybe you're already a Christian, you're looking for a church home. If you're looking for one where we speak the truth pretty plainly, I've spoken it about as plainly today as I can. We'll welcome you that way. Whatever the Holy Spirit, that's that tug in your heart, whatever God's Spirit is saying to you, don't worry about your husband, your wife, your mommy, your daddy, or anybody else. You just make that decision right now.